There's an army that is rising out of dry bones. Global Burden Bearers, a home of encounters, transformation, and miracles by the power of God. A place where rooted, rugged, and dogged generous are raised. To connect to the ministry, listen to Pastor Victor Onishi. Follow us on our social media platform on Facebook as Global Body Bearers Interdenominational Ministry Incorporated. On Instagram and Telegram at Global Body Bearers Interdenominational Ministry. For further inquiries, call 0816-594-8451 or 0903-246-3339 or 0703-814-3488. Sit back and listen as the president of a ministry, Pastor Victor Onicha, bring forth God's words.
Lord, we give you praise for this afternoon. It's always a privilege to kneel behind the podium. The reason why always we will kneel before you is because we know where you took us from. From our nothingness, you have made us who we are today. No wonder the psalmist said, "Who art thou, man, that thou art mindful of?" Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Father, for making it possible for us to see the last Sunday of the month of February. Lord, we give you praise. Not taking your acts for granted, we say thank you. Thank you for your mercies which we have experienced all through the month of February. Lord, this afternoon, we say thank you. Lord, as I teach your word this afternoon, bring it upon your word. Let the next voice that your people will hear, let it be the voice of Jesus through my mouth. Let Jesus the Lord glorified here this afternoon. It's a vow, it's a commitment that the glory is yours. We will not share in your glory. Take the stage now. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Do that which only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Now take your seat to your left, to your right. Can you welcome somebody? Remember that you are shaking hands with a general. Remember that you are shaking hands with a director. Remember that you are shaking hands with a medical doctor. Please, can you do it better? The hands you shake today might open the door for you tomorrow. So please do it better. And please tell that person, "I'm blessed, seated close to you. I'm blessed. It's a privilege. I'm not taking it for granted." Hallelujah. Give Jesus a clap offering. We must know that God is raising generals on this mountain. The least among us will be as mighty as David. Can I tell you the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, some of us in Zion City, we are having a space where we are going to park aircraft, private jets and all of that. If you believe it, then you will be a partaker of what I'm saying. Hallelujah. It will not be a sin if I come to tent by 11 a.m. Then I come with my own convoy. Then by 1, my wife is coming with her own convoy. Then by 12, Destiny is coming with his own convoy. It's not a sin. But the least among us will be as mighty as... Say amen. So that's why I'm going to take out my time to do the things I'm going to do this afternoon. I want you to pay close attention to it, and God is going to help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Welcome my mom, precious mom. The Lord bless you. Mommy's birthday was last week. She's getting young every day. Mommy, the Lord bless you. We celebrate you. Hallelujah. The time I see my mom, I remember Mary in scripture. You know, Mary was part of Jesus' ministry. Mommy, the Lord bless you. That Prado Jeep and that private aircraft, it will soon land. Say amen. Now if you are not jealous, say amen. Hallelujah. Somebody called me and said, "You put sweet mother." I said, "You don't know what happened." It's for another day. Mommy will celebrate. Now, today we have two word section. I'm going to teach for an hour. Holy Ghost, help me. Then we enter into the outpouring of the Spirit. Say amen. Now, so we started our series on covenant of wealth. Covenant of wealth. And we did definition of terms. We said covenant is defined as a formal agreement that is legal between two or more persons. We say covenant is a vow which cannot be broken. And we said number three, covenant is a deal enacted by God based on well-defined terms and sealed with an oath. We said the Bible generally is a book of covenant. Then we looked at the word wealth. We said wealth, according to the Oxford Advanced Learner's Dictionary, wealth is defined as possession of a great amount of properties. Possession of a great amount of properties, money and riches. ETC. We said wealth speaks of comfort. When we say this person is wealthy, we are saying the person is comfortable. And in 3 John chapter 1 verse number 2, the Bible speaking, "For I wish above all things that ye prosper." Meaning God has a wish. And God is wishing that his children should prosper and be in good health, even as they are so prosperous. So God has a wish, and his wish is for you to exist in wealth, for you to be Holy Ghost filled and naira loaded. So we said there are two kinds of wealth. We said number one, the Babylonian wealth. We said this is the wealth gotten through the world system. This is the wealth gotten through the world system. This is where a man can use his mother for ritual. This is where a man can use his father for ritual. Can use his first son. Whatever. It is called Babylonian wealth. It is the wealth that you will sell your soul to get money. Then we said the second kind of wealth is covenant wealth. We say covenant wealth is the wealth that comes from God. The God that we serve do empowers men. This is the wealth that God gave to you. You went to school and you graduated, you got a job and whatever and whatever, and today you are blessed. The house you got, you didn't steal the money. The money came from God. God favored you. Covenant wealth. We saw that Abraham was a man that God empowered. Remember that Abraham was in his father's house. 75 years was still in his father's house. God called him and God empowered him. The same thing with Isaac. And before Abraham lived the sands of time, the Bible said Abraham was very rich. At his old age, he was very rich. In other words, he was wealthy. And we looked at the purpose for wealth. We said the purpose for wealth, number one, is to establish God's covenant with his people. The reason why God wants to establish a covenant of wealth with his people is because he wants to keep to his covenant. So the purpose of wealth is to establish God's covenant with his people. To show the world how he can bless his people. Somebody say, "Father, use me as a specimen.
Use me as a specimen.
To show the world. How you can empower a man.
How you can empower
financially.
Financially.
If God answers that prayer, your life and your destiny will not remain the same. Sample. Meaning, God use you as a sample. No, God must do it with my life. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. Then we said, number two purpose of wealth is to promote God's kingdom. I mean, the reason why God blesses us is so that we can promote his kingdom here on earth. So that we can sponsor God's work. So that we can invest in God's house. If you're here, say amen. Then we looked at the benefit of kingdom investment. We talked about kingdom investment. Giving for the smooth running of God's kingdom. Meaning for every money that God gives to you, don't eat it alone. Look out for needs in God's house and meet up to it. After last Sunday service, one of my sons came to me and said, "Sir, the data for online, please let God count on me. I will take over that." That's a kingdom man. When I looked at him, I said, "This guy is about moving to his next level." That's how we move to our next level. There are certain prayers that God will never answer until you do something in his house. If you are here, say amen. Today, we are going to be looking at covenant practice. Today I want to teach my heart, and the goal of why I'm doing this is so that you can become better and better.
There's no more decline. I'm on my way to brighter days. my status is changing. There's no more decline. I'm on my way to brighter days. Let me hear you sing. My status is changing.
My status is changing.
There's no more decline.
There's no more decline.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way to better days.
Hey, hey, hey.
My status is changing.
My status is changing.
There's no more decline.
There's no more decline.
Covenant practice. So the question is, what is covenant practice? Covenant practice is the platform for empowerment into the realm of financial abundance and explosion. Covenant practice is the platform for empowerment into the realm of financial abundance and explosion. What is covenant practice number two? Covenant practice is the platform for empowerment into the realm of wealth and prosperity. Covenant practice is a platform for empowerment into the realm of wealth and prosperity. When God wants to bless his people, he will create a platform. And the platform which God has created to empower his people is the platform called covenant practice. Covenant practice. Notice this. This is where God empowers us for wealth on the basis of his covenant. This is where God empowers his people for wealth on the basis of the covenant. Meaning, when God wants to empower his people, he does it through his covenant. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18. Deuteronomy 8, verse number 18.
Deuteronomy 8, verse number 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day.
For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, to get wealth. It is God that gives the power, the idea, the strategy to get wealth. Now emphasis, that he may establish his covenant, which he has sworn unto thy fathers. That he may establish his covenant. So we are saying, covenant practice is the platform for empowerment into the realm of wealth and prosperity. Things to note about covenant practice. Things to note about covenant practice. Number one, God's financial freedom and dominion plan anchors on the covenant of seed time and harvest. God's financial freedom and dominion plan anchors on the covenant of seed time and harvest. In other words, there's a time to sow your seed, and there's a time which everyone will harvest. The book of Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 verse 38. Luke 6 verse 38.
Ancient word, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have God with open heart, all that the ancient word impart.
Luke 6 verse 38.
Verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, without it shall be measured to you again.
Hallelujah. Present pastor, can I get some cash, please? Please, can I get some of this? Let's do something else. Hallelujah. There are things I want to explain to us today, and the goal of it is so that everyone can be blessed, so that your life, your destiny can change. Now, I want everyone to look up here. Just watch this illustration. Watch this illustration. Hallelujah. There are many times that we have to teach with illustrations so that you will never forget. Now, I am God, and hallelujah. Now everyone watch the stage now. The Bible said, give. He has given 1,000 naira to me, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given what? Unto you. Good measure, shaking together, will men give to your bosom. So this man that doesn't give, what happens? Nothing will be given to him. He has to give to receive. Let's assume that this brother is a prayer warrior. Father! But when it's time to give, he puts his hand in his pocket. He said he knows the scripture. He can come now, avalanche, he will just... the son of Dodo, he will just escape the scripture. But when it comes to the matters of wealth, you must give first for it to be given back to what? What is in your hand. So he gave 1,000 and God gave him 5 million naira. The Bible said, good measure shaking together with men, not with a man, no, with men, meaning thousands of men together, will give to your bosom. Say amen. Say amen. Take your seat in God's house. Before somebody will say, I sowed the seed. Say amen. I have watched in church that so many persons, they don't like giving. Pastor, I am poor. I used to be poor. If you have tested poverty before, me, I've tested poverty. Poverty that has proof. But how I came out of it was very simple. I was intentional about it. This scripture made a lot of sense to me. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure shaking together with God orchestrate men to give back to you. So a man that doesn't give, you will never receive from God. Genesis, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22. Genesis 8, verse number 22.
Genesis 8, verse number 22.
Yes.
While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
While the earth remaineth, there's a time called seed time. Now the Bible have carried us now to agriculture. That when rain begins to fall, every man will have to go to plant a seed. Hear me and hear me well. Every young man in the house, from your teenagehood, your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, those are the seasons of your life where you should sow. But a time will come when we call harvest time. And any man that doesn't sow will never reap. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, he said, do not be deceived. This God that we serve can never be mocked. Whatever a man sow, that is what he's going to reap. So if he doesn't sow, then he should not expect harvest. Now, as we are all seated down here this afternoon, we are standing on different planes. There are those that they feel that prayer is all. No, you are my bunch of keys. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain,
to break every chain.
Every wrong mindset must break this afternoon.
Break every chain,
to break,
to break every chain, break every chain.
Every mindset must break this afternoon.
Break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain. Break every chain.
Among this bunch of keys, this is the key that opens my parlor door. Among these keys, this is the key that opens the commission door. My car key is different. It's with my protocol officer. Now, it will be foolishness for me to carry my house key and I want to open my car. It will never open. In this kingdom, to open certain doors, you need certain keys. So prayer is the master key, yes. But when it comes to the issue of wealth, it's not prayer you will use to open the key of wealth. What do we use in opening the key of wealth? You give for the door of wealth to be opened for you. Pastor, I don't have. The little you have, give. The widow, I thought that widows should not give. But the widow, the prophet came to the widow. He said, what do you have in your house? Why not go to a rich man's house? Came to the widow's house. He said, I just have a little morsel of me for me to eat and for my son for us to die. And that little, the prophet said, please prepare it for me. Ah, if it's today, prophet. Now, how now 1 kilo with this? But that little that she prepared, she brought it, she gave to the prophet first. It's not the prophet ate. That was the miracle. Hear me and hear me well. As long as the earth remains, there's a time to sow your seed. And there's another time of harvest. Hear this. I've been sowing from my teenagehood. I've been sowing in my 20s. Now I'm in my 30s. I'm still sowing. Get to my 40s. I'll still continue sowing. But hear this. There are some harvests I've received. The ones I sowed in my teenagehood, there are some harvests I started receiving. The ones I sowed in my 20s, there are some harvests I started receiving. So, a man that did not sow in his teenagehood, that did not sow in his 20s, that did not sow in his 30s, then he arrived at his 40s and said, I want to rest. You know what will happen to that man? It is hunger strike. Life and destiny will turn upside down for him. Hear me and hear me well. When it comes to the matters of wealth, you must give. So write this down. The covenant of wealth, it anchors on giving and receiving. So if I give, I will receive from God. If I don't give, there's nothing for me. It anchors on giving and what? And receiving. Things to note about covenant practice number 2. The covenant is superior to the climate. The covenant is superior to the climate. Nothing can stop the covenant from prevailing. The covenant is superior to the climate. Nothing can stop the covenant from prevailing. Whenever the sun prevails, there the covenant prevails. Hear this. Nothing can stop the covenant from prevailing. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33, verse 19 to 22. We said the covenant is superior to the climate. Nothing can stop the covenant from prevailing. Meaning, as long as you see the sun in the day, the covenant still exists. Jeremiah 33, verse 19 to 22.
Verse 19 to 22.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus said the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day.
If ye can break my covenant of the day, yes.
And my covenant of the night.
And my covenant of the night.
And that there should not be day and night in their season.
Yes.
then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me.
What God was saying was, as long as the sun rises up, as long as the sun is up in the day and the moon at night, the covenant exists. So we said the covenant is superior to the climate. In other words, you carry a covenant practitioner from Nigeria and take him to abroad where he knows nobody, the covenant will still be working for him. It is superior to the climate. Things to note number three because of our time. Covenant is as reliable. The covenant is as reliable as the covenant of the day and the night. The covenant is as reliable as the covenant of the day and the night. That means, as the day and the night keep changing positions, as the sun and the moon continue to rule, in the day the sun rules, in the night the moon rules. That's to say that the covenant is still enforced. What we are saying by that is, the covenant is as reliable as the covenant of the day and the night. Meaning, if you become a covenant practitioner, what God has said for covenant practitioners, what God has promised covenant practitioners, it stands. As long as you see the sun up and you see the moon down in the night, the covenant still exists. It's working. The Lord told me consciously to study on wealth and covenant practice again. When I started doing my research, I said, God, there are things I've been enjoying which I didn't know that it was traceable to the covenant. The Lord told me, fathers of faith, that I should read their books and I should listen to their... The Bible said, follow them who through patience, who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. Not are obtaining the promise. They have obtained the promise. When we talk on the issue of wealth in the body of Christ, when it comes to our country, Nigeria, Kosa and Bishop Oyedepo, it's one on the list. When we talk of the matters of wealth and prosperity, you see Gospel and E.R. Deboye standing there. When we talk about wealth and prosperity, you see people like Gospel and Polinense, they are standing there. Bioye, they are standing there. These are people that have proven results. I've looked upon their books. I've read what took them up. And I stand here. What took me from nothingness to where I am today is what I'm showing us this afternoon. The covenant is superior to the climate. Know this, they never forget it. As long as the sun is up in the daytime and the moon is out at night, the covenant exists. Now hear this. God is breaking the chains in our mind, because the things that we're going to hear today is going to help us to arrange our life. Now many of us, you will know why you are at the level which you are. Many of us, you will see that the reason why you have been blaming God, meaning God is faithful, is you that have not been faithful. For the past 2 weeks, I've not been happy. Do you know I've not been happy? I'm the one that kept my wife, my family on one spot because of one covenant that I didn't practice. See, there's something I learned about Reverend Chimobi. He said, come before God's people and tell them the truth. One of the covenants that I was not practicing, meaning that was where the devil held. And thank God for knowledge. The Bible says, and the light shined into darkness, and darkness could not what? Ha! Ah! When I saw that light, I moved to the place of prayer. And I told God, in the days of ignorance, you overlook. Now I have known it. So I applied. Somebody here this afternoon, what you are going to hear now is the deliverance for you and for your children yet unborn, generation to generation. And I pray you appreciate what God is going to bring your way this afternoon in the mighty name of Jesus. Number four, things to note about covenant practice. Obedience is key to taking the delivery of God's package of wealth and prosperity. Obedient. It is key to taking delivery of God's package of wealth and prosperity. Look at Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Now, that was where God called Abraham out of his father's house. And God promised him and said, I'm going to make you what? A blessing. When God called Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, when God called him, he obeyed. He didn't know where he was going to. But he what? He obeyed. Now look at Deuteronomy, everyone. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 32 to 33. Deuteronomy chapter 5. 32 to 33. Yes.
Deuteronomy 5, 32 to 33.
Yeah.
Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God had commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God had commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess.
The key is obedience. Ye shall not turn to the left, to the right. Meaning, as soon as you know the truth this afternoon, face it. Obey. Don't argue with it. Many of us would have been better than where we are today if not for our disobedience. If not the way we have been arguing it in our mind. That sometimes we use our head, we want to understand God. Why must it be 10%? Why must we give sacrifice? What? In this kingdom, on the matters of wealth and prosperity, all you just need to do is obey. If I can obey, my children will look at me and say, blessed be our father. If I can obey, my children will reap of my obedience. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The obedience of Abraham brought Isaac to wealth, brought Jacob to wealth. The obedience of just one man. You agree with me that if you were born into a rich family and your dad had a Prado Jeep and they just gave birth to you and mommy is in the hospital and daddy comes to come and check mommy and they discharge mommy and the baby. The baby went into what? The Prado Jeep and what? Goes home. Why another person? It will be bike. So the question is, what do you want to live for your children? The first time we went to the village, my father's village, I and my elder brother were a bit young. We told our father, take us back to the town. Then when my late dad, when he started giving us this, his history, how he went to school. When my mom, when she told us how she went to school, I said, aye. I said, God has helped our life. But thank God that they took the step they took, or else you could have not met me in your lifetime. I could have still been the village champion. So if our children must have wonderful life, our obedience, the things you obey today, the step you take today is what is going to help them. My children, they should be able to school in abroad, in their secondary school days and in their university days. I don't know the kind of future you want for your children, but hear this, it will take obedience for that kind of future which you want for yourself and for your children for it to manifest. It takes obedience. So we said number four thing to note, obedience is key to taking delivery of God's package of wealth. God has a package of wealth and prosperity, but it takes obedience to take delivery of it. Note this, you either obey the covenant practice and become a candidate of God's financial wealth and abundance system. You either obey the covenant practice and become a candidate of God's financial abundance system, or disobey by not practicing the covenant and fail in life. You either obey and become a candidate of God's financial abundance and wealth system, or you disobey and fail in life. The other time, I and my mom, we traveled to the village. So, there was a hill. No, yeah, there are so many roads to my village. So many roads. My village is not in the map of Nigeria. It's not. Mommy, please forgive me. It's not. If you see the road up to now in this generation, there's still one hill that everybody will have to come down from the car. Then Move on, don't be tired.
Then my mom told me that while they were young, they would go to the markets and they would trek for 6 hours, 7 hours just to go to the market. Returning back again, they would still trek that 7 hours. I said, God. And they still made it and trained us in school. Every member of my family right now, we are graduates. If you want to go for your masters, you're on your own. Continue from there. But every one of we are graduates. So if they could do all of those sacrifices, then the sacrifice you need to make now in your generation is to obey covenant practice. So your children can look at you and said, our daddy left the covenant with us. The reason why I'm blessed today is because of the covenant. They brought some Israeli guys. And you see, some we do dress anyhow. But the covenant is still speaking for them, what their father did. But you see, an African man, you know who your dad is, you know who your grandfather is, you know the things that they touch. There are many of us that are grandfather that they are still Obuchi, they are still in the. So look at the kind of inheritance that they left. Now many of us, you are the first Christian in your father's house. Becoming the first Christian, after you give your life to Christ, the next thing you need to do is to live the kingdom lifestyle. After living the kingdom lifestyle, the next thing you need to do is embrace covenant practice. Hold it tight. Many of us, we have given our life to Christ. We are trusting God to live the kingdom lifestyle. But many of us, we have not practiced the covenant. Meaning, when it comes to the issue of covenant practice, you're out of it. One of the things that our forefathers were committed to was to their covenant practice to their idols. Okay, you guys are a new generation. But if you ask my mom, she will tell you. Those days where they were coming up, they saw their grandparents and things like that. They were faithful in sacrificing to the idol. Constantly. If it's every day, if it's every week, they don't miss it. If it's every year, they don't miss it. It's only our generation that the covenant practice that we need to give to God, so that it will be altars versus altar, we will not fulfill our own part, but we want to succeed. How? So it takes obedience for you to be a candidate of God's financial wealth and abundance. If you disobey, you begin to fail in life. Number 5, things to note. Wealth and prosperity answers to covenant practice. Wealth and prosperity answers to covenant practice. It answers to covenant practice. It only answers to covenant practice. When it is a matter of wealth and prosperity, it answers to covenant practice. It only answers to covenant practice. Things to note, number 6 now. Number 6, because of our time. No one can stop a covenant man from arriving at the peak in life. No one can stop a covenant practitioner from arriving at the peak in life. The key is covenant practice. When you want to fight a man, ask so many questions. Is he a covenant practitioner? Now hear this. When somebody come to you and said, you go see, look at the person very, very well. Where is the person standing? Say, forget it. It's empty threat. Be very careful. When you threaten a covenant practitioner, it is God that answers you. Have you seen God slap a man? It's madness. Have you heard that accident happened and only one person survived? And that person was a believer. And that person was a covenant practitioner. I'll give you a testimony. A lady gave a testimony in Shiloh, one of the years Shiloh. She said, Ambrobas came to their house. And her room was, after the city room, her room was the first room that they entered. So as soon as they reached the door, she carried her tight booklet and threw out the door. The Ambrobas just got to the door and got confused. The covenant started speaking. Bishop Dimitri said, there was one year, Those
guys that came to his house and carried his last daughter. He was inside his room and the wife rushed. Daddy, they have carried. He said he came to the stairs and looked at them and said, you could not know the person's house you came to. If you leave this gate, I am not called of God. I went inside. Those guys entered the car, got to the gate. The car stopped. That's how they were stuck inside. Open the door. The door could not open. He didn't press any security. Meaning, God was the one that closed the door. So you guys should suffer there small. God's servant came. Those guys, they were sweating inside. What do you mean, sweat? So people came to. When you understand the covenant, there are things that begins to happen for you that everybody around you will be surprised. Many of us, we are not strong when it comes to physical strength, but we are strong on the basis of the covenant. So for a covenant practitioner, if you stand on his way, it is God that will push you. You look for his trouble, God will slap you. My mom is here. There are people that have looked for my trouble. And me, I don't look for people's trouble. I will not talk. I will leave them to God. Hey! When God begins to reply them, many of them, the kind of things that begins to happen around their life. Those ones that were when Prophet IG came and said, there are people that are going to be sick because of what they did to you, Pastor Victor. Before we discovered, the next week, somebody had stroke. I said, somebody had stroke. I didn't call any. Somebody had stroke. Because they touched what? A covenant practitioner. Spoke to, oh God, it's Mbazu that has that testimony, because me, I didn't know. A guy did something and I looked at him and I said, why do you do this? Please get out and don't come back again. The next time Mbazu came and said, the guy is mad. I said, I didn't release my, I said, get out and don't come back again. That was what I said. Mbazu was the one that kept the record. I said, daddy, that guy, I said, hey, Mbazu, it's not me. It's not me. I didn't say madness. I just said, go out and don't come back again by what you did. Up to date, the guy is still mad. I didn't say madness. Say, please, hear what I said. Go out and don't come back again. So it made me, I'm very careful. When I'm angry, I try not to be angry. I try not. For a covenant practitioner, see, I'm telling you what you stand to gain as a covenant practitioner. That's a covenant practitioner. No one can stop you from arriving at the peak if only you do it faithfully. Number 7 and last. Wealth and prosperity in the kingdom does not answer to prayer. Take your seats. Wealth and prosperity in the kingdom does not answer to prayer. It does not answer to fasting. It does not answer to begging. God, I beg now. God the Father, I beg now. God the Son, I beg now. God the Holy Ghost, I beg now. Angels, are you putting non-ministry angels again? I beg now. It doesn't answer to I beg. It doesn't answer to crying. I say, okay, I have Jeremiah's anointing. How many of us know Jeremiah? Jeremiah in scripture. He was the weeping prophet, right? Then you are just crying. Say, God, please, my tears will move God. God will bless me financially. God, God, we have suffered in this house. Sister, sit down, I'm suffering. It doesn't answer to crying. It only answers to covenant practice. No matter how you cry, no matter how you fast, no matter how you pray, no matter how you do all that you do, when it comes to the matters of wealth, it only answers to covenant practice. If you are here, say amen. Is that clear now? So it's good to pray. Prayer is the master key. It's good to fast. Fasting is very good. But when it comes to the matters of wealth, the way this keyboard is, the truth about the matter is, I don't know how to play keyboard. But if we talk about the drum, God has helped me, I can play the drum. There's a different principles when it comes to the keyboard. No matter how I say I'm anointed, I say, promise, please stand up. If I begin to play, you say, Papa, please stand up now. Please stand up. That's the same thing with wealth. So prayer has its own aspect. But when it comes to wealth, there's a different principle. And the principle is covenant what? Covenant practice. Say amen.
We're going to be looking at list of covenant practice every believer should be involved in. Or list of covenant practice every believer should engage in to enter into her wealthy place. I take it again. List of covenant practice every believer should engage in to enter into her wealthy place. Psalm 66 verse 12. Psalm 66 verse 12.
We love your knowledge. We love your presence. What is your fragrance? What are you saying now?
We love your knowledge.
We love your knowledge.
Psalm 66 verse 12.
We love your presence. What is your fragrance? What are you saying now?
Psalm 66 verse 12. Yes.
Verse 12. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
There are many persons that this is their story. Today you are serving under your boss. Tony! You rush. Come on, get out! Then you leave. The reason why the person is acting like that is because today he is the boss. He said, thou have caused men to ride over our heads. That anything you do, your boss look at you and said, you are stupid. Then you say, yes, sir. The reason why you are saying yes, sir, is because of the salary. You know that if you leave the job, that uncle that told you, come to Abuja, I will help you. Then you arrive there. Then your uncle wanted to use you as hard boy. That have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire. Have you ever come to a point where you had no money? They turn you upside down. Nothing will drop. We went through fire. Through water. Because as if, see, that means now go continue with this. We went through fire. We went through water. Bible says, but thou broughtest us into a wealthy place. Somebody say wealthy place. Meaning, if you don't want men to continue working on your head, if you don't want to go through financial fire, it's better you go through the financial fire now that you are young. At the age of 45, 50, you should not be going through financial fire. No. You should not be going through it. That the reason why you are fasting because of there's no food. At the age of 45, at the age of 50, someone said, God punish the devil. But he said, thou have brought us into our wealthy place. Where I want to enter now is my wealthy place. My wealthy place. There's a place called wealthy place. Can I buttress on that wealthy place? Where anything you want to eat is available. Point and eat. Where anything you want to ride, meaning I desire this car. And it's not a prayer point. When you come to a level where things are not prayer point, meaning if you desire it, you get it. Where if every Sunday you want to appear with blazers, you want to appear with one wonderful native, and the shoe is corresponding with everything, the bag is. That is the place that the Bible calls wealthy what? Wealthy place. But when a man is going through fire, people will look at him and say, where is your God? Where is the God you are serving? They have brought us to what? To a wealthy place. Rest your feet 1 minute. Place your right hand in your chest. Lord, bring me to my wealthy place. Lord, bring me to my wealthy place. Lord Jesus, bring me to my wealthy place. Bring me to my wealthy place. I am tired of the status quo. I'm gonna be more.
Jesus' mighty name of prayer. Take your seat in God's house. List of covenant practice every believer should engage in to enter her wealthy place. I've already explained what the wealthy place is all about. Many of us, we have been going through the fire, you have been going through the water. So that one, you know it. But the wealthy place now is where we want to enter this year. Remember that this year is our year of what? The rain. Rain of revival. Rain of what? Wealth. Notice. Covenant practice is what brings a man into his wealthy place. Covenant practice is what brings a man into his wealthy place. It's what brings a life, a man, a woman into her wealthy place. Note this. It is God that takes men into their wealthy place when they become faithful with covenant practice. It is God that takes men into their wealthy place when they become faithful in covenant practice. If you play your part, God will play his own part. But the problem is we have not been playing our part. Imagine a sister. In January. January. Beg. I know do first fruit. Are they mad? They think they worry me. Then February. Then she arranged one tithe. And that tithe is not one tenth. Because you just carry anything. Where are the tithers? Where is the 200? Put in this. And then it comes out. Have I poured the oil on my hand? Then in March, March. Look at the plenty problem that came. No, even why will God bring the problem? So I will not pay. You are not faithful. It's one thing to start doing a thing. It's another thing for you to be faithful in it. See, as I'm preaching now, the Holy Ghost is telling so many of us that you are the one the pastor is talking to. The problem is, many of us, we know the covenant practice, but we are not faithful. We are not faithful. Especially when problem come, as soon as there's problem, then you will not pay. He said, if God want me to pay, then he should make things go smoothly. So since things are not going smoothly, even me too, I will not be faithful. I will not do smooth covenant practice. I will do rough one. You know the kind of rough one you used to do? Anything inside the envelope. Hear this. And never forget it. It is God that takes men into their wealthy place. When they become faithful with covenant practice. Meaning this one, it's not Pastor Victor that will take you to your wealthy place. So I can pity you. I say, Minister Francis, you are coming all the way from Mobile Barrack. I know those times that you don't have money to, then you just use your leg on this bench and you just come and say, Papa, the reason why I came late is because I checked. I say, forgive you. Continue the prayers. So now if it's somebody like Minister Francis now, I can just, okay. No problem. God even knew to know where he's coming from. I said, okay, come and enter into your wealthy place. No. It is God that holds the hands of men and take them to their wealthy place when they become faithful with the covenant. You are not faithful with the covenant, then don't expect to enter into your wealthy place. Meaning you remain at the point where men will continue to walk over your heads, where you continue going through the fire, through water. Decide your destiny here this afternoon. The reason for all of the things that be happening in our life is we are not faithful. We are unfaithful. Somebody lay your right hand on your chest and say, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy on me. 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 Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy
on me.
Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Everybody sing.
Have mercy on me.
Son of David, Son of David.
Have mercy on me.
Oh,
have mercy on me. Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me.
If you are not faithful, men will continue to walk over your head. You will continue to go through the fire. It is God that holds the hands of men and said, for your covenant practice, I've watched you 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you have been faithful. So enter into your wealthy place. You see any covenant man, every born again child of God that started from the scratch, and today the person was empowered by God, it was on the account of that man's faithfulness. Now hear this. It's only children that don't like truth. You agree with me that the mathematics teacher that taught you those days, you know how they used to enforce the mathematics? I say 1 plus 1, then you say 11. They give you a hot slap. I said 1 plus 1, you say 11. Now, if we ask you, you say, I don't like our mathematics teacher. You agree with me that the teachers that told you truth in secondary school, you hated them. Moses, you hated them. But right now that you are matured now, you love them. We're helping you. Those days, I and my elder brother, we say we don't like our father. It's our mother we like. It's our mother, she will punk you and hold you and draw you close. And that you will uproot you. But when we started growing up, I said, Kai! It's our daddy that was even helping us. Because you need the two. But there was one day, we did something. No, they used to warn us not to climb caterpillar. We saw our friends climbing. I resisted it. Devil, get behind me. Resisted it. Then we saw our best friend just came. Then that was how we just... Then our dad was just coming with his car, with our mother. Hey! Our own has finished today. He used Koboko and... He will give to my other brother and give me. Yeah. So I was doing escaping, but the thing was still touching us. Then we run to our mother. Our mother gave us again. So it was like, take here, take there. But do you know that all of this discipline has made us who we are today? And people look at us and say, you are disciplined. So truth many times is bitter, but it is better. It is bitter, but it is better for your future. So as we hear the message this afternoon, many of us right now, your spirit now is convicting you. Meaning, I am the reason why I'm where I am. Yes. Take your seat in God's house. Now, list of covenant practice every believer should engage in to enter into our worthy place. Number one is what we call tithing. Tithing. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. Yes.
Verse 18. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God which had delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithe of all.
Abraham was the first man in scripture who paid tithe, and he paid tithe to Melchizedek. And the Bible said he gave tithe. He gave him tithe of all, not tithe of some. Not tithe of some. Many of us, we used to pay tithe of some from my salary. So when somebody favors you financially, you say, no, that one is favor. When it comes to the matter of tithe, it's everything that comes to your hand. Anything that God gives to you through any means, you must pay tithe from it. Tithe of what? Tithe of all. Look at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30. Everyone. Leviticus 27 verse 30. Yes.
Verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord.
Look at the scripture again. All the tithe. That's the emphasis. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord, meaning tithe belongs to God and it is holy unto God. Tithe belongs to God and it is holy unto God. Now write this down. Kingdom wealth is not possible until you embrace the fundamental key of tithing. Kingdom wealth is not possible until you embrace the fundamental key of tithing. Meaning, everyone hearing the sound of my voice, if you want to be wealthy, tithe is a must. It's a fundamental key. Notice this. Tithe is the foundation for financial prosperity. Tithe is the foundation for financial prosperity. It's the foundation. Notice this. Wealth and prosperity is impossible without tithing. Wealth and prosperity is impossible without tithing. And when it's the matter of wealth and prosperity, tithe is a must. It is impossible for you to enter into wealth and prosperity if you are not a tither. It's impossible. Notice. Tithe is a must. It is compulsory to become wealthy and prosperous. It is compulsory. It's compulsory. It's not an option. It's a core course in the school of prosperity. It's a core course. Really, a man can donate in church, but if he doesn't remove 10% of everything that God gives to him, that man is outside the covenant. It is foolishness. I say I want to build a house and I will not start from the foundation. Then I start building a house on the air. What's the diagnosis? The house will what? Collapse. Went to the village. My late dad wanted to build a house in the village. Then they brought the man and they said, this is the best architect in the village. Just imagine that kind of house that's going to come out. Just watch. This man started, they started putting the distance, they started digging. So I and my elder brother were looking at this thing. The distance was going like this. And when we told the man, this man said, what do you know? All these small boys. Get out. So we looked at. So my late dad came and him too. We told him, daddy, share is our building now. Then he told the man, said, this thing curved this side. Then they told us that there's another man in the next village that can build well. So when they brought him, just to come and see, he just came and saw, he said, this thing is bent. You are so... He said, he called us children. Look at her children and her sense, mother and adult. Foundation is a must for every building to stand. So if you are building your own like this, know that when it comes to the lintel level, the lintel too will be like this. So tithe is what? It's compulsory in the school of wealth and what? And prosperity. Notice, tithe is a compulsory course in the school of wealth and prosperity. It is not just an Old Testament phenomenon. No, many of us will say it is Old Testament. It's Old Testament. It's an Old Testament thing. It's an Old Testament thing. But hear this. Tithe existed before the law. Tithe existed before the law. Because the law came during the time of what? Moses. And Abraham lived before what? Before Moses. Somebody getting it? Abraham lived before what? So Abraham was the first man that paid what? That paid tithe. So that means tithe existed before what? Before the law. So it's not an Old Testament law. No, no, no. Tithe existed before what? Before the law. Notice this. Jesus, he buttressed on tithing. You can see that in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Write it down. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisee. He was telling them that they should pay attention to the lesser matter and the weightier matter. Meaning today now, Pharisee, you people are judged. You people are the one judging. Remember the woman that they brought caught in adultery? They were judging the woman. They were talking on the issue of mercy, the issue of the law, and the issue of faith. Jesus said, those ought ye have done, and not to leave the orders undone. What is the order? Woe unto you, scribe and Pharisee, for ye pay tithe. Meaning, what Jesus was saying is, carry the tithe and carry the law. carry the judgment, carry the mercy, carry the faith, add all together. So those persons, you see a school of thought of some persons that say, tithe is Old Testament. I'm opening your eyes to it. Jesus too spoke about what? About tithe. Now, Paul the Apostle, in the Pauline Epistle, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 to 9, it's a lengthy passage. Paul spoke about tithing. So, if Jesus spoke about tithe, Paul the Apostle, who wrote the Pauline Epistle, was speaking about what? The issues of what? Of tithing. So, if you see Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 to 9, Paul explained the issue of tithing. So, tithing is not an Old Testament thing. Then we have the roof. The roofing. Am I right? We have what? The roofing. Now, the roofing, it is God's own aspect. When it comes to the roofing, it is God that roofs. That's when God places something on somebody. He meets one person and meets, and that one person carry him and meets another person and meet another person. They say, we don't know how his life just changed overnight. Then he comes to church. Praise the Lord! I met one man. He said I should come to his office. And after that, I got the job. My first salary, sir, is 1.2. Meaning, God has started roofing his life. In roofing, they will first of all put the, they'll put, before they put the zinc. Do you get it? Now they put the wood. Deborah comes and share that testimony. Then the next time they promote him in his office, he comes back again and says, praise the Lord. You know how our mothers used to do it? Can I just sing one song? Pastor, please, I beg. Let me sing one song. Now, she has to sing that song because God is already roofing her life. Then the next thing, they promote him. Then the next thing, his salary has moved to 5 points, to 10 points. And that brother that trekked around Makodi, that his leg was bold like it was a shoe, because it was not Italian shoe, it was about, so the brother is walking like this. Check, it's not a brother that has bow leg, that is the shoe, it's the shoe. Then the brother now goes to a car stand and say, I've entered bus all through my life, I've climbed bike all through my life, now God is roofing my life. And he selects his first car and say, this one is just to start with. God is roofing his life. Take your seat in God's house. God is refilling his life. Then the same brother that they'll be calling bachelor, bachelor, they'll be calling bachelor. Now God is changing his life again and said, ah, daddy, as if God is leading me to do some steps to the altar. And it's never a prayer point. God, the money's where? And it's that God is already roofing what? His life. But if he doesn't lay the foundation, you should not expect God to roof his life. You should never expect God to roof his life. If you are here, say amen. Okay. What is tithing? What is tithing? Now, what is tithing? Tithing is the 10% of all your income. 10% of all your income. 10% of all your income. Number two, tithing is 1/10 of all your financial increase. Tithing is 1/10 of all your financial increase. This includes your salary, financial gifts, resources, and favor. All is tithing. Now note this. Tithe is a systematic release of a tenth of all your increases to God. It's a systematic release of all your increases to God. You can do it weekly or monthly. Businessmen and women, you can do it weekly. Salary earners, you can do it monthly. Now, during offering time, you will see the account number on the screen. Copy it. If you tithe here, copy it. The devil knows that tithe is the foundation of the matter. The devil will make you never to pay tithe. when money comes to your hand, the devil will show you the need that you needed to meet. And sometimes the need is exactly the salary. You even need to add. So removing is like postponing the matter. And if I don't tithe, meaning I have not laid the foundation for God to roof. So tithe is 1/10 of all what? All your income. So salary earners, this is the wisdom. As soon as they just pay you salary, you just transfer it to the ministry account. As soon as they just pay you salary, you just fix it inside your tithe envelope and put it inside your Bible. Inside your tithe should be the first thing you should remove, so that you can be part of the covenant. If you are here, say amen. Important things to note about tithe. Important things to note about tithe. I just give us one for today. The next week we are going to pick it from there. Important things to note about tithe. Number one, tithe is the key for open heavens. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. Malachi 3, verse number 10 is the key for open heavens. Yes.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Everyone look at the scripture. Bring ye all the tithes into what? The storehouse. God is giving a command that everyone bring your tithes to God's house, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now. Meaning when I give my tithes, I am proving the faithfulness of God. I'm like saying, I have set my leg on the covenant. So God, what answers for covenant practitioner? Let it answer for me. Meaning if you prove me, I God, now this is my own part, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. The first time that the window of heaven was opened was in the days of Noah. Rain fell for 40 days, right? And there was flood in the land. What is God saying? If only you prove me by your tithe, I will open the windows of my blessing. And the blessing that will be coming is in a flood dimension. If our parents know this, they could have been better than where they are today. Those of our parents that knows it, it could have, they were faithful in doing it, they could have been better than where we met them. Be that generation that will enter into the flood of God's blessing. Look at it again. He said, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, meaning it is God now that is speaking. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. Meaning the blessing that will bring to you, you can't count it. You need a financial officer to be taking note of your money. This is the realm which I must enter. That you are blessed to a point that you don't know the money that's in your account. You have a financial officer which you are paying. Take charge of my money. Rise to your feet, everyone. Lord, I receive grace to practice the covenant. Lift up your voice as you pray. I receive grace to practice the covenant. I receive grace. I want to practice the covenant. I receive grace. I receive grace to practice the covenant. I receive grace to practice the covenant. The covenant of tithing. The covenant of tithing. I receive grace to practice. I receive grace.
believe you've been greatly blessed. To connect to the ministry, listen to Pastor Victor Onishi. Follow us on our social media platform on Facebook at Global Body Bearers Interdenominational Ministry Incorporated, on Instagram and Telegram at Global Body Bearers Interdenominational Ministry. For further inquiries, call 0816-594-8451 or 0903-246-3339 or 0703-814-3488. We love and celebrate you.